Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a big day!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. It's a big day here at Fortis Institute for Tahoo reasons. Number one, that's a drum roll, Libby Glosson. She's our new fellowette. She's our first fellowette because we make gender distinctions here, but only two, male and female. Libby Glosson is going to be a fellowette broadcasting her podcast, The Better Way. It is awesome. It ain't chick chat. It ain't a bunch of girls sitting around and gabbing and giggling and you silly, maybe whatever your stereotype is for women's podcasts. This is intelligent talk. She's smart. And she actually respects women, her own gender. She doesn't treat them like they can't handle deep things. No, this stuff is good. And she's going to tackle the things that particular from the female perspective so that women can love the Lord Jesus Christ more and joyfully serve whatever role God has them in at the moment. We are thrilled to pieces. The Better Way podcast can be found. Fortis Plus, it's a free app. Get it. Or you can find The Better Way with Libby Glosson at wherever it is that you do your podcasting business, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever it is. The Better Way, Libby Glosson, debuting right now. Today, so it's an historic day. Jimmy, is fellowette actually a word, or did I coin some? Am I like Paul? I actually coined a word here.
Well, yeah, let's trademark it real quick.
Okay, in Sunday school at church, at Alpharetta Bible Church, you probably knew this, but it's worth considering again. Ephesians chapter 1, the greeting is a sentence. I think he starts, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he launches into this doxology, just says, I got to tell you how amazing God is. And it goes on for like 8 verses. It is a Pauline run-on sentence. But then as soon as he's done with that one, he goes, and then he launches into another one. And it's magnificent. And if you happen to be one of those individuals that regularly struggles with assurance, that's one of the chapters that I would encourage you to spend an awful lot of time in. How magnificent God's amazing grace is. Paul also, not only did he ramble on, but he also coined some words. And so are we here at Fortis Institute. We have a fellowette. We're not like the world. They used to make these gender distinctives, like, you know, actor and actress. We continue to make those distinctions. Fellow, fellowette, Libby Glosson joining us now. Jimmy, speaking of genders, all right, I'm just going to read this to you, and you tell me if this kind of strikes you as, like, sad as it did me. I just went, oh, there it is, right there. It's from the Washington Post. It was written by an individual who claims to be a law professor specializing in corporate governance and inclusive leadership. So we hire people based on their sexual preferences or their gender expression? Not happy that the current administration has proclaimed two genders, M and F. And if on your passport you have an X, that's going to go because there's no X gender. There's male and female. You know, the way the Bible says. Here's the sentence, Jimmy. See if this strikes you the same way it hit me. When it comes time to renew our passports because he might get his X removed, the State Department might replace them with documents marked with an M or an F. Despite my long hair, lipstick, and dress, my receding hairline and broad shoulders will mean I'd get an M. That struck me as just... Dude. And you know what else it struck me as? Offensive to women.
Yeah.
Like wearing a dress and painting your nails red, that's what makes you a woman? No, those are female expressions. Part of which, by the way, is determined by culture. Those are expressions of a gender. But simply doing those things doesn't make you that gender. This is just a classic example of the zeitgeist, the mindset that says, my psychology supersedes my biology. What I think overrules reality. Oh, what a tragic world. Well, we're not going to have an X here at Wretched, and we're not just going to have some gender-neutral sort of title. No, we've got fellows and fellowettes. All of their podcasts, all amazing, can be fun. I don't know what you're snickering about.
Well, I want to tell you.
Okay.
Because AI is a bit snarky.
Okay.
I asked.
It's patronizing.
So I asked if fellowette was...
It's because I'm white, isn't it?
No. I said, is fellow...
I'm racist?
No.
Misogynistic?
Maybe.
Sexist? Yeah, maybe. Okay.
I asked if fellowette was a thing, and it said, nope, fellowette is not a thing. That sounds like a bad name for a 1950s girl group. The fellowettes.
You know, I don't think AI should be making those judgment calls. I think that's an excellent name for a girl group. Better than the Bangles. What is that? What is a Bangle? Anyway.
A tiger.
Okay. So it's an adjective. They called themselves an adjective. You know what it reminded me of, though? Bugles. Do you know what bugles are?
Yeah, the chips.
Do they still make them?
They still make those.
I bet I can't put them on my fingers anymore. Because that's what you... Okay. Yeah. So when I was a kid, I used to put bugles on each of my fingers. And you know what that looked like? A witch's fingernails. You know what that means? I became a witch. Yeah. Because that's...
Dark magic.
No, just if I do something on the outside that kind of makes me look like something, that's what I become on the inside. Would you please follow along with the Washington Post article? That's reason number one. It's a big day here at Fortas Institute. Reason number two, it's a special day. You. Boy, did that ever sound like that? Like the song of our age. You are what makes everything special. We love it when you send stuff. We truly do. Even when you disagree, even though I know that you're going to be completely wrong if you disagree with me, the talk show host. Nevertheless, it's special to us. So please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks via email, idea@wretched.org, or text away 877-282-2337.
Well, speaking of disagreements, we did have someone who disagreed. He said, you're talking about, and I'm paraphrasing because it's not right in front of me, but he did mention that you talked about earlier this week, the mind and the brain.
Yeah.
And you spoke of the mind as they were.
What's happening to your brain right now? Or is it your mind?
Where's my lion's mane when I need it? No, he said you spoke of them as they were the same thing instead of
No,
seven.
I shouldn't.
Right.
No, you're right, dude. Tag me on that. Greg Giffords' book is going to be out May 27th. It's so past due in helping Christians to sort through. It is like a tidal wave has simply just pounded against the church doors and your family door, demanding it come in and tell you how to deal with emotional issues, how to deal with your child's, whatever their thinking is that you don't think is what it should be. The secular world wants you to do what they say, and it starts by labeling, giving you a moniker, calling you or your kids a disease. What do we do with diseases? Well, you treat it with medication, right? That's what we do with diseases. And that is just one of the dangers of calling emotional issues diseases, because then we naturally go seeking some medicinal cure. Greg Giffords' book is going to blow all of that up. And I would like to encourage you to consider, it's not going to be out until the end of May. Start thinking about getting that book. And I would go a step further. Pastor,
elders, get a copy of this book so that you can read it, because you'll be able to help all of the families in your church. There is nobody sitting in your... You do not have a congregation. You got 50 people, which I think 50 or 60 is the average size congregation. You got that many folks. I would bet the farm that you've got folks there whose kids have been labeled something. They're there. And this book will help so much. It's called Lies My Therapist Told Me. It's not available to the end of the May, but I would encourage you to get it now. And you will do a better job of distinguishing between mind and brain, like I failed to do apparently earlier this week.
You get in trouble.
You know what? Disagree. Correct me, please. Okay, Jimmy, I got one here. Do you remember we were talking about people who don't cut their lawns?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people don't cut their lawns because they're lazy. Okay, that's pretty obviously a problem. There are other people, though, who don't cut their lawns because they think that everything should be wild. And furthermore, they're trying to protect the ants that maybe crawl in the grass. In fact, I heard from somebody, I think it was Peter in Minnesota, who was telling me that some people do it because of the bees and the pollination and the making of honey. But received an email disagreeing with my assessment of lawn cutting, and it has a whole lot to do with the book of Genesis. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Mark your calendars for February 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll be able to join Fortis Institute fellow Et Libby Glosson and author Martha Pease for an exclusive webinar, A Joy-Filled Marriage. Let go of culture's expectations and cling to God's design. Along with Libby and Martha, you'll learn biblical wisdom on everything from effective communication to handling conflict with grace. As we celebrate 25 years of faithful ministry around here, we're expanding our commitment to equip believers like you with resources that matter. So whether you're seeking guidance on biblical submission or wondering just how to approach difficult conversations with your spouse, this webinar delivers real answers rooted in God's Word. Your partnership as Gospel Partners makes events like this possible. For 25 years, we've stood firm on biblical truth, and with your support, we're just getting started. You can visit FortisInstitute.org right now to register for this transformative webinar and learn how you can become an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner today. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden,
God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a big day here at Fortis Institute. This is Wretched Radio announcing Libby Glossin, The Better Way podcast. Please check it out at fortisplus.org or wherever you do your podcasting business. It is intelligent talk for women, not silly, not trite, not lots of giggling going on. No, that would be like a Beth Moore Bible study. This is actually intelligent talk for women, issues that are of specific concern to you by somebody who is really, really smart and a great communicator, Libby Glossin, The Better Way. Find it at fortisplus.org along with all of our other free stuff. We got tons and tons and tons. Not everything that we do here is free. We've got some resources that are for sale at Fortis Institute, but all of our daily content, all of the, there's scads of it. All of the fellows produce stuff and it's fine and it's good. And if you sign up for that free app, we'll just send you every day. It's like, okay, here's the stuff that you can consider consuming for free. That is at Fortis Plus. Please sign up and then start sending us stuff to idea@wretched.org. Even if you disagree, like this fellow did about lawn mowing. I said that the people who don't mow their lawn because they just want Mother Nature to grow wild, and we need to make sure that we don't use any sort of pesticides that kill some ants. I think that that's unbiblical. We're to be those that take the planet and steward it. We have mastery over it. We run the place and we subdue it. So wherever it's tangled, we unknot it and we take the elements that God has made and we demonstrate that we are image bearers, the ones that God has put at the top of the creative pecking order to make it useful for us, because that glorifies God. Well, not everybody agreed with me. This was a very thoughtful letter, email sent to idea@wretched.org from Paul. Your view, must have been a Monday show, seems to be that it is better for us as humans if we pave the entire world and build towns that are far more aesthetically displeasing than what God created. Okay. Let me try to unpack that because it's a lot. I'm not suggesting that we remove all nature. That is to fail to be a good steward. Not only do we subdue the planet, we steward the planet. Furthermore, we do recognize God's creative beauty and care. But when man takes a tree and turns it into a chair, that speaks of another thought. The tree testifies to the greatness of God. Turning the tree into a chair testifies that God has endowed human beings as his image bearers to subdue this planet and to use the things that exist so that we have expressions that actually do glorify God. Not the same expression. Obviously, a tree looks different than a chair, but they both speak a word. And we shouldn't neglect one for the other. And that is why I do think that when it comes to, I'll call it nature, because if you say the word environment, everybody just goes, well, are you an environmentalist? Well, define what that means. We should take care of the planet. And we should recognize that there are things in nature that are just beautiful. And some of those things we probably just should never touch because they're like, oh, they just scream at an 11 of God's glory. But having said that, we're here to get the place under control and have it look like humans are running the place. Squirrels nest, so do humans. Why don't we make a nest like a squirrel? Because we're humans. We're better than squirrels. And our housing should reflect that. Squirrels, they run all over the place. We have roads and sidewalks and transportation vehicles. All of that testifies that the Bible is right when it says that human beings alone are made in the image of God. So I don't think this is an either or supposition. This is a both and. And when we shouldn't, and if there's ever
I think, a debate between, do we protect nature or we do the thing that is for genuine human flourishing that cannot be accomplished elsewhere? The hat tip goes to humans because God said you can do that to the place. And we have divine permission for that. Okay, but there was more that Paul sent in. Should we pave the entire world? No. But and furthermore, I would say this, Paul, they're not aesthetically displeasing. Good architecture. It's like, whoa, that's an accomplishment. When we see a hill of red ants, don't we kind of marvel at it? Look at the work that they did. Ditto with human beings. Look at the work they did. Back to Paul. I would argue that mowing your lawn leans more toward a worldly view and cultivating your lawn to produce food, native flowers, and habitat for his creatures is a much more biblical view. I don't think it needs to be either or. I say, mow your lawn. That's kind of the cultural norm. And it shows that we care for the things that God has provided for us. We are trying to beautify things that God has given to us. We should try to enhance the things that God has given to us. And then if you want to do crops, do what people used to do. Put it in the backyard. Just put it in the... And I would also say this, the argument, as much as I love honey, the argument that we need the bees in order to create the pollen, are you saying really we can't accomplish that anyplace else? So we're not going to have any more honey. Pooh Bear's going to be very unhappy because we mow our lawn? I don't know. Quote, I believe God is a God of order, and I do not see every landscape as a frontier that human beings need to conquer. No, but we can and we should, and we're actually mandated to. That's a good word. We are to be those who conquer the planet. A landscape that is incredibly ordered by the God that made it until humans affect it negatively. Well, see, I don't think we do affect it. No, we can. It can be ugly. It can be bad stewardship. But we don't violate the principle because there are exceptions or because it can be done poorly. Principle is we show it off. We show it off. And it should reflect the glory of God. They both do that. They speak it differently, but it's the same message. Disagree? Feel free to respond. idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is a text from John. Todd, just wanted to let you know that I practiced evangelism for the very first time alone. I'm a Gen Z with raging anxiety, and I still had some anxious thoughts while talking to people about the word. What can I do to combat that?
Paul must have been Gen Z, because he came to the Corinthians with fear, much trembling. So that ain't a generational thing. That's an evangelistic thing where it's kind of scary. I get that. We're confronting somebody's worldview, especially in our day and age. That sort of stuff can be considered unwelcome in some zip codes. It's harder in some places than others, but it's a common malady. Ask Ray Comfort. He'll tell you. He gets anxious. When I go to the streets, I've got that thing going on too. And I think I just discovered the reason why. I don't have that thing going on when I'm just in a conversation with somebody. Because when I'm out on a mission to evangelize, it sets me up for warfare, and that's the wrong attitude to bring to the engagement. It should be, we've got great news for you. Was thinking about the parable of the banquet that the king prepared for the son. He invites people, the Jewish people, they reject him, they decline his invitation, sends the invitation out to the highways and the byways, and the banquet hall is full. It's not wrong to extrapolate from that parable that being inside of the kingdom of God is a banquet. It's a banquet for us. What we get in Christ is absolutely staggering, and we get to let people know about that. So when I feel I'm just out on a mission, I kind of get the heebie-jeebies too. When I go with the mindset, I'm a beggar, been given bread, and wow, is it tasty. It's like hot out of the oven with some Irish butter good, and I would like for you to experience it too. And you can't consume so much that I don't get any. It's that expansive and that good. That will help you with your heebie-jeebies. There's I think seeing people not as an enemy, certainly, or not as a target or as a mark, but somebody who's just lost. They're just lost, and they're going to be eternally lost. Dwelling on those things should help to override those fears. And finally, I would say, don't forget about the doctrine of sovereignty. If you get the heebie-jeebies, because what if I say something wrong? Okay, well, you shouldn't get lazy. You should study and be prepared, but you should rest in sovereignty. Don't ever leave a witness encounter going, oh, I should have said that. Well, apparently God didn't want you to because you didn't. If he did, you would have. And you can rest in that and you can find the balance of, okay, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to practice. That's another thing you can do, my Gen Z friend. Practice. It'll help you to get over the heebie-jeebies, especially when you remember you're just going to give something amazing away. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Vice President J.D. Vance laid out a bold vision for religious liberty earlier this week, declaring it a top priority of the Trump administration both at home and abroad. Speaking at the International Religious Freedom Summit, Vance highlighted the administration's early actions, including pardoning pro-life protesters targeted by the Biden Justice Department. Meanwhile, in Ohio, we're seeing exactly why such protection is needed, as Montgomery County officials have stripped a Christian home for abused girls of its contract simply for hiring staff who share their faith. Apparently, helping trafficking victims matters less than enforcing secular orthodoxy. And the institutional retreat from gender ideology accelerates as Children's Hospital Los Angeles suspends hormone treatments for minors under the age of 19. And this pioneer of pediatric gender transitions finally bowed to the reality after Trump's executive order targeting such procedures. Former patient turned activist Chloe Cole called it a victory over one of the worst gender clinics in the entire world, a description that speaks volumes about what passed for quote-unquote care in recent years. A Pennsylvania school superintendent has announced his resignation amid controversy over allowing a self-described genderqueer witch to serve a freshman about their sexual history without parental consent. The announcement comes as the Department of Education reviews multiple complaints about student privacy violations spurred by Trump's recent executive order targeting school indoctrination. And South Carolina has taken its fight to defund Planned Parenthood to the Supreme Court, arguing that states should control their own Medicaid spending. The case arrives as the White House launches what the press secretary calls a very public pressure campaign to keep men out of women's sports before the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. The administration's message is clear. Biological reality won't be sacrificed for ideological fashion. And the global rejection of bureaucratic overreach has gained momentum as Argentina joined the U.S. in exiting the World Health Organization, citing COVID tyranny as their final straw. And while some still cling to failed policies, like the Atlanta pastor calling for a 40-day Target boycott to restore DEI, the tide of common sense proves unstoppable, and British lawmakers, they get a stark warning about this institutional capture as government data revealed that one in five patients given 6 months to live survive three or more years, exposing the deadly flaws in their proposed assisted suicide legislation. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now it's a really, really, really big day. This is Wretched Radio. It's a big day at Fortis Institute. Libby Glossin joins us. Her new podcast, The Better Way. Get it. FortisPlus.org or wherever you do your podcasting business. Second reason it's a big day is we love hearing from VU. You send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
You text away to 877-282-2337. But it's also a big day here at Wretched Radio because we have a clarification. That's right. A request for a clarification. Normally, we request questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, but now we can add another clarification. Actually, Pastor Mike at Alpharetta Bible Church, when he's teaching on Sunday morning in Bible study, which has been awesome, the book of Ephesians, so rich. It's just so dense. When he's done teaching, he says, questions, comments, cries of outrage. Well, we've got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and clarifications. You say, what does that look like? I say, well, it looks like this email sent in from Cody. Todd, I've heard you say that violent rape deserves the death penalty. Does this make the death penalty a recommendation based on our personal disgust and our interpretation of taking the life of an image bearer? Well, we can certainly make mistakes in rendering verdicts on any subject, but that doesn't mean that we don't participate in the contemplation of the subject. Yeah, we can misuse, we can bring our emotions to our consideration, and that's a bad thing. But in this context, Cody, when you say disgust, our personal disgust on a subject, don't overlook that. Your feelings can be wrong. But not necessarily. We should be disgusted. I mean, like, what? A man did that to a woman? Are you kidding me? A man did that to a child? That's disgusting. And that would be right. And I think even nature would testify to that. But even more so for the Christian who is informed by the Bible with an understanding of that's an image bearer of God. You don't treat an image bearer that way. So, You're right, Cody. We can make bad judgments because of emotions, but I don't want to say that we set our emotions aside completely because I think sometimes disgust is exactly right. And violent rape, is there any other kind? Do we need the word violent? And these creeps that they put a pill into their drink to knock women out. Oh, what do they call that, Jimmy?
Roofie.
Roofie.
Yeah.
Whatever. They roofie somebody. I'm sorry. You drugged a woman so that you could violate her. That's disgusting. And we shouldn't lose. Now, that means that we have a right response to something that is genuinely evil. Now, we got to watch our hearts and our attitude toward that individual. But even then, we have to find a balance, don't we? When somebody does something so downright disgusting, yes, we are still called to love those people, but how that expresses itself is a little bit more complicated than just overlooking their atrocious behavior. Well, we've got to invoke some other emotions like a sense of rightness and a sense of justice. And when somebody does something that horrific, I do believe that the death penalty can be expanded beyond just murder. Genesis 9, I think Romans 13, certainly the Mosaic Covenant gives us permission to take the life that by the way, isn't murder, that's killing. That's a justifiable killing because somebody is a guilty murderer. The Bible gives us permission to invoke the death penalty or to encourage our government to utilize the death penalty. But I do believe that because the Mosaic Covenant can still be used. We don't unhitch our Old Testament. For principles, we see other applications of the death penalty, don't we? And we can, from the Old Testament, glean principles that God would still affirm today. And I think one of the principles that we see for the various reasons for the death penalty in the Old Testament, rape. That's an atrocious, violent, it is murder of the heart. I'm willing to impose my will on another for my personal pleasure. Ooh, that has to be akin to murder. Nevertheless, I think we take the principles from the Mosaic Covenant. We do our best to apply them. But I do believe we have biblical permission to expand our desire for the death penalty beyond capital punishment for murder. Disagree? clarification, cries of outrage, idea at wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, should Christians put any stock in synchronicity or coincidence?
No. Did I jump in too soon?
Next question.
Well, coincidence and synchronicity are different things. Synchronicity is when something, there's not a connection to it, but it seems like, oh, wow, I can't believe that I saw that billboard when I was thinking about this. Whoa, synchronicity, dude. Now, synchronicity actually gets far more complex because different philosophers have injected themselves into the concept, like Carl Jung, making it so like, okay, maybe Jordan Peterson can get that, but most of us cannot. That's when we see something, you're in your car and you're singing along to Elvis. And out of the blue, you're located in Oregon and you're singing Elvis, and there a billboard pops up, Graceland Museum now open. Whoa, synchronicity, man. I say no, providence, dude. That's just providence. That's God orchestrating, designing everything. There's no such thing as synchronicity. There's no weird divine that or universal or some sort of natural communication that's happening out there synchronistically. And there's no coincidence. Coincidence indicates that God isn't sovereign, and he is. So there's nothing that's coincidence. Everything is ordered by him, and we shouldn't be looking for special messages, and we shouldn't be looking for life direction because of what we would call a coincidence. There are none. And this is one of the best exercises a Christian can do, especially when they're not experiencing hardship. Recognize everything is ordained by God. Everything. The billboard, the Elvis song you were singing, all of it ordained by God. And we don't want to go looking for special divine communication or messages or think that, oh, that brings some clarification, man. Look at how nature works. Nature has no power in and of itself if it is not ordained by God himself. So out the door with synchronicity, whether it's the concept, whether it's Carl Jung or Sting, and out the door with coincidence. We use the word providence, and providence is extraordinary, which is, I do believe, a sermon from Phil Johnson, who right now is in the throes of his chemo. He's lost his hair. Still got his goatee. I don't know how that works, but the chemo, so he like lost it like bang fast. It just like came out in fistfuls. And then they shaved his head. I hate to say this, but I think not every man can pull off bald. Phil Johnson, I think, can pull off bald, which is really kind of doubly annoying because his hair, what is Phil, 72 years old? He got a thick head of dark hair that he doesn't dye. And then they shave it off and it's like, yeah, that works, Phil. Somehow that works. Be praying for our brother, Phil Johnson, because he's in it right now. 877-282-2337.
We should shave our heads in solidarity with him.
No, we shouldn't. Nope. Nope. I'll pray for him. You know, I wouldn't argue with somebody, you know, parents that do it. I get that's sweet, but I'm not Phil's daddy. So there. Love you, Phil. Not shaving my hair, buddy.
All right.
I wonder what his is going to grow back like. That should be some sort of a betting. If there were ever a justifiable betting pool, what's Phil's hair going to look like when it grows back? 877-282-2337 to place your bets.
From Kristen, I'm assuming you have unsaved family members that you've shared the gospel with. How often do you continue to plead with them with the gospel?
Yeah, you know what? I actually put that out on the table. I actually ask them because it's always tricky, isn't it? For all the obvious reasons. And so I like to say, hey, you know, I've brought this up like two or three times. Will you let me know when this becomes agitating? Because I don't want to agitate you. I just wanted to share some good news. And if it bugs you, I care about you so much. I don't want you going to hell. I want you to experience good things. I want you to attend the banquet of the King. So let me know if it's something where you're like, I'm done with that. And then I honor that. I respect that. Okay.
then I'll zip it. Can I bring it up in maybe a year, 2 years, something? Can just, or let me know if you're ever interested. So I think by putting it out on the table, it's helpful. I think if you start to sense, you got to be careful because it might be that you're actually having an effect on them and they're responding kind of severely. Simultaneously, it could be they're just responding severely and you're just agitating them. Use wisdom, and the best way to make sure that you're not crossing the line, communication. This is Wretched Radio.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself, but the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where the Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women. Like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches. Just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for the Better Way with Libby Glossin. Real truth, real wisdom like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
On second thought, maybe we do have a fair amount of outrage. It's merely misplaced. This is Wretched Radio. Plenty of things to be agitated about these days. Look at your newsfeed. There's just tons of it. And maybe you get exercised. Ah, they're doing this to our country. Ah, and whilst I get that, I wonder if that outrage might be better aimed at things that we just seem to not think are a big deal these days. Abortion, there's one right there. Rape, there's another one. Here's one for you. I heard another one of these. Now I've heard two of these stories from dudes in Atlanta that were financial investors, And people gave them basically their retirement and they absconded with it. They used it for their multi-level, whatever it is, their Ponzi scheme that they were doing. And you ruined people's lives and you knew you were doing it? You're a medical doctor who swore to first do no harm. And you use your intellect and your skills to mutilate children? That's the stuff that I think we should be expressing genuine outrage. And I wonder if it's because the left has been so successful in just browbeating us. Hey, you can't be upset about anyone for anything. You can't do that. You got to let people do their own thing. No, there's evil in the world. And if I see it, I'm going to be outraged because that's the right response. And I wonder if maybe you can do your self-examination. I'll do mine. We've still got outrage as a group, but it's maybe aimed at things that are just small. They're just not big deals in the scheme of eternity and on the hierarchy of evil. There is a hierarchy of evil. And when people cross that line into that territory, I'm sorry, to not be disgusted and outraged, I think that's actually wrong. But you can disagree, and then you can send those thoughts to idea@wretched.org.
Hey, Todd. You just don't like it when I say that, dude.
Well, I know what's coming.
No, you don't.
All righty, then.
I'm going another direction.
Okay.
You realize it's a new month.
Oh, look at you.
We got to have our verse of the month.
Yeah. And why exactly are you bringing this up?
Because it's a new month.
No.
Because you reminded me.
Because I was reminded in an email. Hey, where's the Bible verse of the month? All right, fair enough, Jimmy. What is the new... Last January, we said, hey, if we just memorize a Bible verse a month, mm-hmm. we're going to have 12 bullets in our arsenal. I'll work on that illustration. We'll just have things that you can bring to a situation. So what is the Bible verse for the month of February, Jimmy?
Psalm 55:22.
Oh, love that one. Go ahead, just for those people who don't have it memorized already.
Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
He will sustain you. Mm. It's also 1 Peter, cast all of your cares on God because he cares about you. All right, so this is cast all of your cares upon God. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
Yeah.
Memorize that. That's an easy one. Good job picking an easy one. Because there are some that get a little more challenging than others. Paul can be a little bit challenging with all of his parenthetical remarks. That's an easy one to remember. And you can remember that when you feel like I'm being shaken. No. The Lord won't allow that. He will see you through this. His hands are strong. Rest in them. And you will do that when you memorize Bible verses and then you apply them in the moment. Psalm 55, verse 20.
Two.
What?
22.
20. Well, I memorized the verse, just not the address, which is another component, Rexella. You got to memorize the Bible address.
Yep.
And we all know, just so you know, Pastor, when you say something like, it's like Paul said, you can't remember which epistle, can you? We know that the address would be Psalm 20:55.
Yeah, 55:22.
Exactly. What is it?
Psalm 55:22.
Okay, there you go. Are you sure?
That's what
you
said. I'm positive. All right. All right.
Ball still in your court, Jimmy.
Okay, this is from Jeff. He emailed in, Todd, I was wondering what the biblical response to burnout would be. The world uses that term, but how is it explained in Scripture? I'm 62, eager to retire, but a trusted friend who understands finances way better than me explained that my wife and I would be better off financially if I would work until I'm 67. Decided to take his counsel because I think it's wise, but I'm simply weary and ready to stop working.
Sure. There's a lot going on there, isn't there? And I think the umbrella that I'd put it all under is wisdom. This fellow even used that term. It's wisdom to keep on working for the sake of financial stability in your golden years. So I wouldn't argue with that, but wisdom should be applied to every single situation. What do you do with burnout?
He said he's 62 years old and he's just fried. My next, I don't know that this will be like, whoa, helpful, but I know a lot of guys who are 62 and that work has become kind of like, this is what I think we're called to when that begins to happen. When that age comes, when you, perhaps your energy begins to just, it's depleted more and more every single year. Obviously, wisdom can be invoked. And I think that you don't have to be working full time until the day you die. It doesn't mean that you aren't always laboring for the Lord, but I'm talking about gainful employment. You don't have to put in 40, 60 hours until your very last breath. But we are called to be workers, and we are called, I think, to endurance. And I think that that's kind of that's the energy pill that might be helpful for you. This is where God has you, and he wants you to press through this. That's the new assignment for you. The new assignment isn't, hey, got a cool new job. Hey, we just got transferred. Cool, got a bonus, got a raise. Those things are probably gone. Hey, I get to work on a new fill in the blank. Probably gone. So what's left for you? Hey, God has an assignment for me. And if his assignment is getting out of bed every morning when I don't feel like it, I am going to bite into that. I'm going to do that because this is where he has me. This is where he wants me. And I believe, having received wise biblical counsel, that this is what is best for my wife. I'm going to work. And you do it for a different reason than perhaps you've done in the past. And you find your energy, not because of the excitement of doing the task or getting a new office, but because you know that God has you on assignment. I might also suggest this on a practical level. It burned out. Okay, ask yourself, what's maybe out of balance? Why are you so fried? Everybody's different. So you can't say 62, you shouldn't be burned out on it. You can't do that. But it is a little young. People didn't used to quit at 62. That's an American construct. Don't see that in the Bible. So what's maybe out of balance that needs to be corrected? Are you never taking a vacation? Time off? Are you just always thinking about, we're just always thinking about work? Then reorder things so that maybe you'll just have a little bit more balance in your life. And if I could segue to pastors, was reading an article, sorry, I can't cite who it was, but it was about pastors that struggle to say, I'm exhausted. You shouldn't, pastor, because your exhaustion doesn't indicate a lack of dedication. In fact, it probably indicates you're very dedicated. What it indicates is that you're finite and that you can only do so much for so long. And there's no shame in admitting, I am really tired. Now, personally, I don't think sabbatical is the answer for that exhaustion. I think it's getting your life ordered. I don't want to pick a fight over this because maybe you're a pastor who does take a sabbatical. But wow, unless I guess you're like a Ivy League university professor, the only other people that I know of that take sabbaticals just because they're so tired are pastors. And I would just personally have a hard time looking out over the flock and saying, so I'm going to be gone for the next 3 months taking a sabbatical when nobody else gets to do such a thing. I think the need for a sabbatical, unless it's a writing assignment or it's more ministry aimed in a different direction, I think a sabbatical indicates something's out of whack. And that brings us back to our fellow who's 62. Maybe something's just out of whack. Get that adjusted. And then see your assignment as God ordained. This is what colors everything. You're 22 and you're thrilled about life. Well, I'm not going to try to throw a bucket of water on your enthusiasm for work. It's exciting and it's new and it's fun. Cool. Enjoy that. But that's not what ultimately makes work something that has meaning and significance. What does? Because what you'll learn from Ecclesiastes is work doesn't like forever fulfill. So then what makes our work fulfilling? And the answer is God. The answer is doing it under the Lord. The answer is I'm on assignment. He's given me this task. I'm going to do it with all my might until he takes me home or he tells me through his people or his word, I'm on to a different assignment. That is what colors life. whether you are old or young. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.